Hi, I'm Kate Bailey. I'm a coach, an author, and a sober mama. And this is Love Sober, the podcast for the sober and sober curious. Hi, and welcome back. And this is like super exciting because this is the beginning of Love Sober Podcast 2.0, which is a new incarnation of Love Sober Podcast. I'm Kate Bailey. I'm your host, and I'm an author. I'm a coach, a sobriety and midlife wellbeing coach, midlife and menopause coach, and I'm the author of two books and the host of Love Sober as well. And I am joined by the lovely, lovely Dufflin Lammers. So Dufflin, hello.
Hi, darling. I'm so happy to be here.
It is so exciting, and I just couldn't think of a better person to start off this season with and to dive into all things that we love about being sober, about relationships, about life. So Dufflin and I'm trying to work out how we met each other. But I think it was the She Recovers connection. So we're both She Recovers coaches, right? We met each other when we were over there in Miami. There's the French connection, because obviously I used to work with Mandy and you're based in Paris.
Yeah, I feel like maybe Rose.
Yeah.
Rose met Mandy, and then Mandy introduced you and me, and voila, here we are.
So it's this European sober sisterhood kind of working its magic. And here we are. And isn't that beautiful? I'm so excited. I'm so excited. And so Dufflin has also been working with me on Love Sober Life School, which is my 3-month program. And we'll talk about that later. Dufflin is a relationship coach. I'm going to hand it over to you in a minute, Dufflin, because I'd like you to explain what you do. Because we were chatting about this, weren't we? And over our chats over the last few years, we were just, you know, it became more and more apparent to me that in sobriety, you know, sobriety, relationships, friendships, romantic relationships, family, everything comes back to connection with self and with other. So Dufflin, tell us a little bit about you.
A little bit about me. So I'm American, but I live in Paris, France. I came for a 3-month stay and fell in love with a handsome Frenchman, and here I am today. And I'm a relationship and recovery coach. So that didn't exist. I've heard other people using it now, but that didn't exist when I first started using that phrase 6 years ago. And I had been coaching for a few years before that, but it just was more and more clear to me that there was this area where there was a need for women in particular, where we would get into recovery and we're all struggling to find new ways to regulate our emotions, right? To manage our emotions. And how do we deal with that without the old coping mechanisms? And particularly in relationships. And like you said, it means all relationships. So romantic relationships for sure can be super activating for a lot of people, but also family relationships and friendships, work relationships, friend relationships, all of it. And just seeing a lot of women really struggling with that. And I myself struggling with it. Right. And so I retrained myself. I was an actor for a long time in Los Angeles. And when I moved to France, I was in the process of retraining myself. So I trained as a coach. I trained in Tantra. I trained in attachment repair, and I trained in intervention. And so now I sort of combine all of those things to help women who are on a healing journey to succeed at sex, love, and dating without resorting to tequila, Ben and Jerry's, or Star 67. Woohoo!
I love that. And you know, it lands with me so sort of profoundly. And I think at different times in our lives, you know, I think when we get sober, right? So obviously we've talked about the get sober, stay sober, love sober, peace, and this is what this is about, is the ongoing journey and creating lives that we love sober. So I've been married for I don't know. A really long time. I can't remember. I always say to my husband, how long have we been married? And he just goes, oh, it feels like too bloody long. It's there are the ongoing joke, ha ha ha, you're so funny. But it's, you know, we've been together since our 20s and we're in our 50s, right? But parenting, you know, for me, and I know that we'll, you know, we again, I'll be talking to somebody later on in the season about us about our parenting challenges. And that for me is one of my biggest triggers at the moment. The difficulty to regulate and to manage teenagers when my own attachment styles and ruptures are triggered 24/7. And managing that within a family system, my goodness, that is so complex. And so yeah, we get sober, but then life happens. And so I feel really excited to be able to kind of dive into this with you and to keep diving into this. You know, every season we'll be talking, you know, a couple of times every season. We don't know, it depends on the subject matter, right? And your availability and my availability. But Dufflin will be a real regular. And what we want to do as well is just to encourage people, if you want, if you have some kind of relationship quandary. And you need a bit of coaching on it, you need a bit of, you know, support around it, some information, please do write in. Please do write in because we will be looking out for those emails and we want to, you know, provide that kind of service on this podcast. So it really feels like a two-way street. It doesn't feel like we're just talking.
Absolutely. It's a conversation.
It is. I started Love Sober. It was when I was working with a coach many years ago, so probably about 9 years ago, maybe something like this. And I was behind the scenes on sober forums, and I was really scared to come out because I was deep in the midst of mum world, mummy wine culture in a very small town in West Sussex. And I was like, if anyone knew this, they won't let their kids play with my kids. Like, such was the shame, such was the stigma, such was the kind of fear about it. And I was working with a coach that I'd met on a sober forum, and she said, you know, what do you want to do? You know, what's the goal? What's the dream kind of thing? And I was like, well, I really would like to be an author. I really would like to be, I don't know where to start. I'd like to speak internationally about this. I really care about this. And we took looked at what might be the first step, and I had an idea for Love Sober. And it, she's the first step was making a little blog on publicly. So not behind, you know, closed doors, but actually putting up a site, and it was called Love Sober, and I started blogging. Oh my goodness, that it just felt enormous. And that's then how Mandy found me, really liked my writing and the visuals, and said, do you want to do a podcast? And I said, yeah. I had no idea what I'd never listened to one. Of course, no, like early sobriety, early recovery. You go, yes, don't you? Yeah, hell yeah. So, and the rest is history. Before long, that unlocked. I was also working on a book proposal, but the podcast very much unlocked all of that. But the first step was just that, me saying, here I am, and taking a step. And I guess that step looks different for everyone, right? But it starts with getting sober. And then it starts work creating a life you love sober. And, you know, I trained in the life coaching. I then trained in all the bits and bobs that we need, and you know, the nervous system magic, the hormonal stuff, the habit change, the recovery piece. And do you think that what you did is create something that you needed that wasn't out there? So it's almost like necessity being the mother of invention.
100%. 100%. I'm the coach that I wish I had 20 years ago in my first year sober. You
Yeah.
know, but that it didn't exist then, nor did, you know, what you're doing with Love Sober and Love Sober Life School. That was not an option back then. So, I mean, I loved what you said about taking a stand. This is such an important thing. And I think for many women, for many people in general, that getting sober is the first time they've taken a stand for themselves,
Yeah.
right? And it's such an important moment in someone's life to take a stand for yourself.
It is, because it can be so scary for all the reasons. Like, I always think that, you know, that wavering on that point is the worst point, isn't it? Because you don't know, you know things aren't working, you have no idea what it's going to look like. And that moment, that stand, is freaking terrifying. And it is the moment that your big girl pants come on and that you start to love yourself, right?
Exactly. I just got this picture in my mind of you in Chicago as she recovers leaping into the swimming pool with the big girl pants on, right?
They had no shame written on them, didn't they? We all had no shame pants. It's
No
amazing.
shame.
And so going back to this thing that we're kicking off with this idea of relationships, so sober relationships, which we will keep cycling back to in its various manifestations. How has that impacted your relationships and helped your relationships?
It's funny as I'm thinking about that because I think there was a time for me when I was sober but not in recovery. Or that's how I would have put it back then. So because when I was a junior in college in New York, I was 23 years old and I realized that I couldn't drink anymore. It had just become clear to me because again and again, I'd had situations where it just was wreaking havoc in my life. And bad things happened when I drank, you know, and it was clear. And so I said, okay, I need to stop drinking. And on New Year's Eve, it was between turning 1994, I set down my last glass of champagne at midnight and I said, that's my last drink. And it was. And I haven't had a drink of alcohol since then. And over the next 8 years, you know, life was in session. Lots of different things happened. I was in a car accident and I went to the hospital and I left that hospital with lots of prescriptions. So there were all these, you know, all of these other things that sort of came in and I found drugs basically. And so I didn't have a drink for 8 years. Can you imagine? I was doing all sorts of drugs, and not drinking. And yet I thought of myself as sober, right? And I told everybody that I didn't drink. But I will say that even just quitting alcohol changed my relationships because I was able to manage and control drugs in a way that I just couldn't with alcohol. I didn't black out anymore. You know, I didn't get sloppy, I didn't vomit. And I was less likely to run off at the mouth, which was right. So my relationships improved just by quitting drinking. And then when I got into recovery and I decided to become abstinent from all mind-altering substances, they changed again, right? And then I began to be more open to intimacy and I began to do more work on myself. And so for me, that was sort of, you know, I began this personal development journey and I'm still on that journey. And it still happens all the time that I'll do, you know, when about 8 years into that journey, I started meditating. And again, my relationships changed entirely because I became more available. I mean, I would say that essentially is the gist of the journey is that every time I let go of something, I became more me and I became more available and I had more love.
I love that. And I just want to just pinpoint, though, not so, like so sober since 1994. Like, if I do my maths, that's 30 years.
Can't believe it.
30 years, right? 30 years.
Can't believe
Well done. That's
it.
amazing. That's amazing. And then it's very interesting, isn't it? Because I wonder if there's a cultural thing around the word recovery, because I remember being really allergic to it, and I'm really coming round to it now. I think because of She Recovers and the whole idea of we're all recovering from something. And I hopped on, you know, we were talking about it. I hopped onto a She Recovers meeting the other day. When was it? Sunday night. And I was listening to the list of kind of things that were coming up, and nodding my head and going, oh yeah, there's that as well. For me, I'm not sure. That's really awful. I shouldn't be laughing, but it was literally like, oh, a cat. Oh yeah, there was that, you know, car crash last year, or this, you know, neurodivergence. And It's like these layers of things that we recover from, and it's a beautiful way of saying life is really impactful, and we're constantly almost repairing and growing. That's part of the growth cycle, right? But for you, that recovery, the recovery journey is personal development, and by the sounds of it, that sort of it's almost like an opt-in to presence, right? That I'm not going to leave now. So whatever it takes, and then I work, I'm on an exploratory journey through my life, and my vow to myself is that I'm not checking out. Is that what it sounds like?
Yeah, absolutely. I th thank you so much for reflecting that back to me. That totally resonates for me, just the idea of becoming more and more present, becoming more and more alive, right? Which is part of my thing with Tantra is how can I be fully alive? How can I be present for what is instead of trying to change it into whatever I think it's supposed to be or right, alter it in some way? Can I just receive the life that I've been given? Which is easier said than done.
Really? Yeah, it really, really is. We always joke, don't we, about well, I joke with people about the after 2 or 3 years of sobriety, suddenly it's like if you're not doing yoga, then I'll probably give you 100 quid, because most people are doing some kind of meditation or yoga practice, because actually we need these tools to regulate and to keep engaging with complicated lives, don't we? That's how I feel. It's like, give me all the tools. Like, I'm not going to turn my nose up at any of them, right? Obviously, you're a love and relationship coach. You moved to France, which is a bold move, right?
I said, especially as an American, it is
I
bolder
know.
than
I've watched
I
Emily in Paris. I know how hard it can be. So then you found the love of your life, right? And you've got married, and do you mind sharing a bit about
Oh, God, no, I'm writing a whole memoir about it. I love sharing about it.
that?
Yeah, and I think that's part of the thing too, right? Because I was single for 12 years in recovery before I met him. 12 years. For me, that's a really long time. I think for most people it is. And it was through from when I was 32 until when I met him, I was 43 or 44, right? So at a time in my life when I had expected to have found my person and right and be coupled up and I couldn't figure out like what was wrong with me, and that was the thought that kept going through my head, which I hear my clients saying again and again, you know, like, there must be something wrong with me, and there wasn't anything wrong with me, and I had the opportunity, right, to spend that time with myself, to get to know myself, to learn to love myself. Right. So I had a coach at the time who told me, you know, enjoy this time, love this time, because it won't happen. You know, you're going to meet that person and it won't happen again. So enjoy it. And I did. And I'm so grateful that I did, because I got to develop the sense of self that I didn't get in my early childhood. And I think that's a lot of what it was about too. So that, like what you were saying before about your relationship with yourself, that was primary. And listen, every self-help book out there, every book about relationships, every guru, the Gottman Institute, wherever you go, they will tell you that, right? But I think the thing was like, how do I love myself? And I think I didn't really know. I didn't really understand exactly how to go about doing it. And I think it also takes great courage. Right, especially in the world that we live in today, but there's so many reasons not to feel safe, right? So there's lots of bold moves to be made, right, around all of that, and yet then to take that into relationship with someone else, because I think the other thing is like, once I did get to a place where I love myself, I'm happy, I'm secure on my own, it was super scary to risk losing that by sharing it with somebody else. And when I met Benjamin, I won't say I wasn't looking, because I was. And I had been through a lot, you know, and a lot of, you know, difficult entanglements in recovery, because I had a really hard time managing my emotions. So I would get this thing would happen, you know, when I would meet somebody and I would decide within 30 seconds. And I prided myself on this, if he was the one or not, which is, you know, not a super healthy way to be. And so,
yeah.
You
wouldn't
right?
necessarily have all the intel then, lovely.
No intel. No intel whatsoever. Totally based on chemistry.
Yeah.
Which, and now realize it's just a red flag. You know, it's not the way to be. But I, you know, so I had come a long way. By the time I met him, I had myself a dating plan. I was meditating. I had a therapist, a tantra teacher, and a coach. I had a community of women to support me. Like, I had what I needed to be able to get through that, because I don't know if you've ever watched two people fall in love, but it's terrifying and devastating, and it disrupts all the other relationships in your life, including your relationship with yourself. So, right? So it does require that kind of scaffolding.
That's so interesting. It made me think it was like the kind of Jennifer Lopez of dating, with all of that team, right? Do you know what I mean? But I love that. That's like, I'm worth it, right? I am worth that. I love that you did that.
Yeah.
That's like taking super good care, isn't it? So what would you say for people who aren't going to do that, right? Who haven't got the, what would you say some of the tips and tools they could do though? You know, what are some of those like real essentials that you could kind of do for yourself or find with your friends? Or
I think the number one thing that I would say to any woman in recovery who's dating and interested in having a serious relationship is this: slow down. Right? Just slow down. And I think, again, that's another thing that it's easy to say that and it's hard to do it. And what does it look like? So that's where a dating plan comes in. If you have more specific boundaries around it, because here's the deal. The chemicals that are released in our brain when we connect with another human being can be as addictive for us as any substance outside of our bodies ever was. And so we can very easily mistake that for a genuine connection. And in order to avoid that, we go very slowly. So the same way that we would, because there are things, you know, on a recovery journey that we need to do. We need to eat. We need to connect with people. We need to go shopping. We need to use money, right? And yet those things and the way that we use them can become as habit forming as a substance if we don't have boundaries around how to do them, right? So then we come back to one of our favorite topics, which is boundaries, right?
Yeah.
So that's essentially what a dating plan is. It's a set of boundaries, right? So slow down and have boundaries.
Yeah.
That's like the essential. Like if you can just slow down and have some boundaries, you can figure it out.
Yeah. Because then you give yourself half a chance of staying out of massive reactivity into some form of like, okay, I can allow my prefrontal cortex to come online within this sea of hormones and check that this is a good idea in line with the whole of my life and my future goals, presumably. And then boundaries. Yeah, like the boundaries. We have to do a whole, we're going to have to do a whole podcast or a whole season on boundaries, right? Because I still feel like a baby with boundaries, you know, or I think I've got them with some, yeah, I'll have it with some people. But, you know, when my kids became teenagers, and this is a whole other thing, so I'll talk about my relationship soon. But the boundaries there became really interesting, because they're pushing all the boundaries all the time. And then I'm also going through the menopause, so I'm almost going through that kind of queenager like raging. I can see you laughing there, but it's very disruptive. So
That
we've
is
got
adorable, Queenager.
teenagers and queenagers in the house together is real soup. It's a fiery soup. And if you can find a boundary in there, I give you another 100 quid. So, like again, life's impactful, and this checking in with ourselves, being sober, being in recovery, staying out of reactivity, or the scaffold gives us just some kind of, oh, I feel like it's a life raft. It's that essential, isn't it? It's like a life raft. Give us a just half a chance, really.
Exactly. I feel like that's the now the image that I got in my mind was like, you remember that TV show Lost?
Yes.
When I was like early in recovery, right? I feel like we're on Lost, and when we've made a raft out of like the bamboo that we found, and we've tied it all together, and we're sitting out there, but we've got a Dior swimsuit on, and we've got a glass of like non-alcohol champagne, and we're having a good time, and it's sunny, and we've got some sunscreen on. We're taking care of ourselves, but we're having a good
Yeah,
time.
I like that. I like that. And I think so. And I think my raft is actually quite big, and it's got some cushions on it so that I can relax on it too. Do you know what I mean? And it might have a little bit of shade, so I'm not getting too kind of sunburnt. See, look at how we immediately, what I love about coaching and what I love about sobriety is that your mind, you taught me this actually, Duffin. You came up with this phrase, staying in the solution. When we hold, when we, the Life Sober Life School, where we do our group coaching together, and we had some kind of conversation about holding space with people. And I was trying to sort of articulate some kind of something, and I can't remember what it was. And you use this phrase, staying in the solution. And I thought, that's it. That's it. There's a really beautiful boundary that I think that no matter how, and this goes back to you not checking out and making sure that, that recovery bit is that we agree with ourselves. We have this kind of contract with ourselves to stay in the solution.
But you know what? I think you're absolutely right, because a lot of it is about resilience, right? Recovery is about sobriety as well. Like, it's all about how do we bounce back? And loving your life sober, to me, it's about I'm going to bounce back in style, right? I'm going to stay in the solution, but I'm going to love it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be mine. I'm going to make it my own, right? It's going to be authentic and genuine and real. That's what I want. Like, I didn't get sober to live somebody else's life.
No. With my husband, we did lose a bit of that. The connections we had when we, we used to drink and play music together. And then we had, it was like a shortcut because we were time poor parents. It was like, oh, actually, and this goes back to your thing about slowing down and taking time, because actually, connections do, it might take a bit more, might take a bit more effort. We do have to get a babysitter and maybe go out of the house and book a nice theatre or book a cinema together and think about what we're going to do and plan it in, so it's more care and more attention to it. And I know, I think with my mum, because my mum and I can really trigger each other, as is the way of so many. But I think for us, I think the sort of calmness and that power of the pause, I think I can just listen. I know when I'm getting activated. So in that moment, maybe I got a chance of just going, oh, okay, that's my stuff. And I can just take a pause. She can have her feelings. I can say, actually, I can see why I can hear that you're upset about that. And actually what it meant was, and we've got a better chance at communicating. And then with my kids, it's just a no-brainer, because that's been the probably the most difficult ride of my life so far. But I know day in, day out, they get the same me, So I mean, people that know my family situation, and these are like people, local people as well, who know that I'm sober and they know what's gone on and what we have going on. I don't know why I'm laughing. But even then they go, thank fuck you don't drink, Kate.
Right.
So it's like, okay, when the going's hard, it's like at the life raft, and when the going is easy, it's like the fireworks and the beauty and the awe and the twinkles, you know, and it's everything in between. It's everything in between, but it's those ends of the spectrum for me, so foundational for me, yeah, and therefore all my relationships.
Absolutely. I love what you said about the wonder and the sparkle. And I love that. That was my favorite when we did Love Sober Life School together for the first time. That was my favorite module, is the one about find your sparkle, because it's just so charming, and it's so, that's what I want, because I feel like I want more. That's all I ever wanted. That's part of the nature of this, condition. And maybe it's the human condition, and maybe, right, and those of us who suffer with addiction, and with maladaptive coping mechanisms, right, that's what we're looking for. I just want more. I want to feel more alive. And sometimes, in the beginning, some of those other things that I used, they worked for a while until they didn't, right? And when they stopped working, I had to find something else. And that something else for me now is the solution, right? So that's why, like, being in the solution is about being in the magic. Yeah, and I just love that. I love Love Sober Life School and everything about it. I'm super excited to do it again.
I feel like all of those things that can make us feel so much better. And when you open your mind, like when we start to recover, when we can, you know, feel better and we feel more grounded and we feel more connected and we can open, you know, lift our heads above the parapet a little bit. Life is like a smorgasbord. It's rich. It's rich and it's varied and it's happening now. And it's like, this is not a dress rehearsal. So we get into Love Sober Life School. We go, right, okay, we'll find our feet. We'll set, you know, set the intentions or whatever. And then we're like, okay, let's go. Let's go with this. And we meet every week, don't we? Every week on the Sunday, we meet and there's loads of information. And what I love is that different people jive at different weeks. So it sort of lands, you know, it might be the boundaries week that goes, oh, okay, that allowed me to set that boundaries, talk it through with Dufflin. And it was like that unlocked. What I say no to means what I can say yes to, fundamental boundaries. And that really lights people up. And some people, you know, the scarcity mindset will flip on, like you said, that kind of what do I love? Like the hobbies. It's like someone's going, well, what am I going to do if I don't drink? And then you get a list of 500 hobbies that we can try. And permission to play. And it's like, oh. And I've heard that. I've heard that so many times that there'll be something that just flips that switch to this kind of feeling of abundance, joy, exploration. You know, I didn't come to be sober so that I could sit on a church pew in sackcloth on the edge of a windy clifftop in the freezing cold and eat porridge. Although that sounds quite nice to me now, I want everyone to leave me alone. I'm like, where the hell is that church in Scotland? I'm going there right now.
That was very like Jane Eyre.
It was. It's actually what I want. I want everyone to leave me alone. I want to go to the church. Slam the door and go, leave me alone with my porridge, you feckers. I don't want to speak to anyone. No, but yeah, it's this yeah, the richness and the fact that, and also going along doing it together. Because we go back to connection, right? And relationship and community.
Absolutely, absolutely. And watching the relationships that develop, I think, inside of a community, it's really hopeful. And that's something that we all need, no matter what stage of recovery we're at. And for me, over the years, I've always got to kind of refresh my program, find, okay, what's sparking joy for me now? Because it may not be the same thing as last year or even last month, right? So all of those new things. And for me, also inside Love Sober Life School, all of the material that you offered, like there was a TED Talk I had never seen, that was just, open my eyes to a new point of view. And that's part of what it is too. What, like we talk about at She Recovers, patchworks, right, of recovery, that you get to create your own, whatever it is that works for you. And there are lots of different lenses to look through now. But 30 years ago, there was just the one, right? Credit where credit is due, that saved my life. And I am very grateful. And it's still a part of my program. And there's so much else to choose from. As you said, there's a huge buffet table. I'm afraid to say the word smorgasbord because I'm afraid I'll say it wrong. I don't know if I can pronounce that
It
word.
was right.
But so like here's my raft. But they're back on the shore. There's like a five-star resort with all of this stuff to choose from. And I can go and I can take what I like and leave the rest. And there's something so empowering in that. Right, which is one of the things that I love about Love Sober Life School is that you kind of give us access to that smorgasbord.
Oh, thank you, lovely. Yeah, and it's so important. It's so important to feel like we can stay in that sort of curiosity and abundant stuff, because that's when we stay in the solution. That's when we stay connected to ourselves, right? And our sobriety and our recovery. So Love Sober Life School, just if you are interested in this, I'll put links below. And that is kicking off on the 21st of April this year. It's a Sunday. Sunday at 5 p.m. GMT is when we have the live calls, and they're all recorded. And then there is daily content. It's video based, it's audio based. There's some love notes in there. There's some audio recordings. So, but there's stuff every day because we're building that habit of just checking in every day. It is for busy women, so it's not overwhelming. So you can do little bite-sized things every day. Connect once a week, and then if you love a topic, if something really, really chimes with you, there's a library of resources so you can deep dive, and you have it for life as well.
And I have a feeling too that many of us, you and I included, have been on this journey all along, right? When I think about writing, writing was my first act of personal development. I started doing that when I was like 12. I don't know about you, but for me, that's what I was reaching for, as I was reaching for a relationship with myself through the page. I was reaching for connection. I was reaching for something more. I was reaching for resilience. And for a while, that was the only place that was safe for me to find it, and later I found it in other places. But we've always been on this journey, haven't we?
For sure. I could go on. I've got another anecdote, but I'm just aware of the time for us now, and we should probably be wrapping
Oh, you're right.
We started Love Sober Podcast 2.0, and basically it just went on and on, and we never stopped. We only stopped occasionally to sleep and take turns to kind of eat and then kind of carry on talking. But so beautiful. So tune in again. We've got lots of guests this coming season. We've got Sarah Rushback, who's got a new book out. We've got Tawny Laura, she's written Dry Humping, which is about a book about hooking up without, I just love that title.
Me
Someone
too.
had to do
I'm
it.
excited
She's
for that
such
one.
a love. She's such a love. We've got Sober Dave, and we've got Johnny coming on, Johnny Lawrence from the School of Self-Development. They're going to be talking about being sobros and how to manage male relationships, how in their own experience in sobriety and in recovery, they ended up walking up a mountain together, as boys do, right? And anyway, and lots more. And we'll be checking in again. We'll be talking about relationships, talking about parenting, talking about all things through the sober lens. So I hope you've enjoyed today. Thank you so much, Dufflin. And we'll see you next time for more chat.
A bientôt!